Hear now the gospel lectionary reading for today, and this is the traditional reading for the second Sunday after Easter, Luke 24, beginning with verse 13. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel." Yes, and besides all that, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were open, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. While they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Sisters and brothers, this is the gospel of our Lord.
is a long walk. Not used to this. Today we continue with what David so joyfully started for us last week when we had biscuits and worship in the fellowship hall. David talked about doubting Thomas, and he said he imagined what it would be like if doubting Thomas was on the Dr. Phil show. And he's talked about how Dr. Phil says to people all the time, "How's that working for you?" And he imagined looking at Thomas, Dr. Phil, and saying to Thomas, who's alone on this journey, "How's that working for you?" So we're going to look a little bit more at that this morning and why the church is important. So let us pray. Gracious God, for your many gifts and for the gifts of this community and the ways in which you call us to be a church, may we push aside the clutter of our week and may we plant our feet and our hearts here to hear your word and your will. Amen. I imagine that many of you have said to your friends, "Do you remember where you were on 9/11? Do you remember what you were doing?" And then we start talking to each other and say, "Oh, I remember. I was sitting in front of the TV, or I had just come in from a walk." And then we talk about what we remember seeing. We saw the airplanes go into the towers, and we saw people fleeing for their life. We saw the firemen and the rescuers coming, and we saw the towers go down. And when we retell that story, we start to feel all of that in the pit of our stomach when we remember that day and the sadness and the loss. So take that feeling and put it on those two disciples today who were walking along that road, and they are feeling the same sense of loss. They have just witnessed something that has been traumatic. Someone they love who was treated in a brutal way. Somebody they care about who was mocked and made fun of. Somebody that they believed in, and they watched him die on the cross. And so they're walking down this road and they're talking about all those things just like we do with each other. And they're saying to themselves, "Do you remember this man? All these things that have happened." And as they walk, someone comes up to them who we know who it is, but they still did not recognize him. Now, if you read what all the scholars and theologians say, they believe that this was intentional. It wasn't that these disciples weren't smart or they were unintelligent. This is the purpose of the story, is to help to understand what does it take sometimes, not all the time, to see Jesus in our midst. And we go farther into the scripture that David read today, and do you remember when it was that they recognized who he was? What were they doing when they recognized Jesus? They were eating like we do so well, right? I thought that was really interesting. We love to eat. We're going to eat today. Jesus comes to this place called worship for them, something they do all the time. They're singing and they're praying and they're coming together and they're reading the word. And Jesus brings out the bread, and when he breaks it, they say, "Oh, I get it. It's you." This Eucharistic symbolism is at the heart of the story. What God is wanting to remind us of today is that sometimes when we come together in this environment, which we all know so well, we're used to the green carpet, we're used to the chancel, we're used to the choir being up here, we're used to these things, and we read a call to worship. It's the rhythm of our worship. It's in this daily ritual that sometimes we're surprised in this community just how Jesus appears. We can be so surprised. And sometimes we get so involved in the ritual of worship. If you get like me when I'm at my home church, you start to get a little critical of it. "Well, I don't like the choir robes," someone might say. Or someone might say, "I'm not a fan of the style of music." Or someone might say, "Really just don't get into the preaching." And that can happen. We had a woman at one of the churches where I served. We were doing an interim period, and someone came in to lead a training. And this woman was talking to the congregation about models of ministry and what the role of the minister is to the congregation. I'm sorry, young people, I don't have an example for your age group, but there was a show on TV a long time ago called The Love Boat. And I doubt y'all have ever seen that. Love Boat? Yeah. If you're my age, I'm showing my age with this one. Remember Julie McCoy, the cruise director? This person raised her hand and she said, well, I believe the minister is like Julie McCoy. She's the cruise director. And if she does not keep us entertained, we will go to another church. It's funny, and yet we know, especially as clergy reading the articles, how people are coming to churches as consumers and not as disciples. I have been guilty of it in my own church. But what God is underscoring in the story today is if you can let some of that fall through your fingers, if you can put some of that down and recognize we do different things to meet different groups, we have different music for different kinds of people, people preach in different ways, and yet the greater question is what happens when you come here? What is it we're doing? And the first thing we know we're doing is worshiping and giving thanks to God for all that God has done for us. We know that. And the second part that I would remind you of that you might not get is that you, all of you, are co-creators with all of us as we worship together. I don't do this apart from Jim and Cinda. I don't do this apart from Bill. I don't do this apart from Catherine. I don't do it apart from the choir. We all come together as co-creators of this worship service. 9:30 was very different than 11 o'clock. Jeff was here, he knows. It's going to be different because different people come, and this is what we do when we're together. And so what happens when we come together in this ritual is that Jesus can come and surprise us in the most amazing ways. Now, does that mean that you can't worship God on the mountain on your hike this afternoon or when you're down in the basement going through grandma's photos? Does that mean there's not a God moment alone? Absolutely not. But it also means, in the promise of the baptism we made today, that we recognize that we need community to grow in faith. One of my professors said it so well. As David said last week, people come up to us all the time, oh, Trisha, I'm glad you're a minister, but I'm spiritual, I'm not religious. And that's okay. But I love the metaphor that my professor lifted up one time when he said, we are like the ship. The church is like the ship. And we need those buoy markers in the water to help us navigate our spiritual and religious faith and journey so that we don't end up on shore. I need you to help me on that journey. We need each other. It is a journey that can be done alone, but it is also a journey that when it's done together, God can show up in the most surprising places. And the other thing that happens that we do here is we practice how to do our faith. And I think about that with the call to worship. When David goes all the way to the back of the room to shake someone's hand who's a visitor, he is saying in that act that this is what I will also do in the real world. I will go and meet people I don't know. I will welcome them in the name of Jesus Christ. When we shake the little one's hands, that passing of the peace is our act of hospitality here that we take out into the world when we go out in the world, at the Walmart or at Showmars when we eat lunch. Every single person who is invited or not invited to come and preach in this pulpit is a statement of who we believe God to be. Every single person who is allowed or not allowed to serve communion is a statement of what we believe about God. Every child that gets to read during worship and be a part of a ministry moment is a statement about what we believe about God's community of faith. All of this is helping us to understand larger who we are as a community and how God shows up in very surprising ways. This week, Catherine called me to talk about the music. And while she was on the phone, she said, I have a story to tell you, Trisha. She said, you won't believe it. We went to the grocery store this week. She went with her two sons, Ethan and Evan. And they were walking back to their car, and they saw an elderly lady with an ankle brace on her leg. And so Catherine walked up to her. I'm not the least bit surprised. And she said, would you like for me to return your cart for you at the cart return? I'll be happy to do that. And the lady said, thank you so much. And so Catherine walked over, put the cart away, and started coming back to the car. And Evan, her youngest, who spoke today, Evan said, Mommy, you went beyond. And Catherine said, what? And he said, you know, like at church, they've been talking about going beyond. And you just did it. You went beyond. And you helped that lady. And that's what church has taught us to do, is to go beyond. Our youngest ones get it sometimes better than I do. They hear every word in worship. They're soaking every bit of it up. They know this is a special place to be. And they understand the proclamation of what we're talking about. They got it. And they could not have done that without all of you as co-creators of worship. Evan and Ethan would have never gotten that had they not been a part of this community of faith. God showed up in a very surprising way in the parking lot of the grocery store to proclaim once again that we can go beyond, but we cannot go beyond without all of us on that ship navigating our journey to the next exciting chapter of Unity Presbyterian Church. We have each other. Thanks be to God. Amen.